It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. He's bound and down.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous. Fantabulous.
Fantabulous.
Fantabulous.
I got to put that in my little header here.
Yeah, so. You can put a little header there. Fantabulous Seafood Shed, yeah. That's, I had to add that in there, I'm kind of one of their PR people or something.
I understand.
They got some fine groceries, man.
They got some good vittles, no doubt.
What'd you say? I had some shrimp and some of that, I don't know what I'd call it, dirty rice, but mm-hmm. It's the little brown rice that they got on it.
Right.
That's some good groceries, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good groceries.
Good food, for sure.
They'll probably give us a call tonight. We'll see if Nick is available. But, hey, man, you know what? We broke the ice here about several years ago.
Yep.
And it had to do with all of the electric cars. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the fact that we just wonder how long is it going to take before we see a bill passed so that they're going to start charging the people that buy electric cars taxes for road use.
Right, right.
Yeah. Now, I believe it's happened now.
It has happened. And, anybody that's listened to the show for, the last several years, we've talked about it off and on from time to time, but that it was going to have to happen eventually.
It had to.
The only way they maintain and build roads in this country is off of, gas tax.
The gas tax on the fuel. And, if you bought an electric car, you're not buying the fuel.
Right.
You're
using the road.
You're using the roads, but you're not paying for the rebuild and upkeep and, working with the infrastructure.
Right. I mean, it's fair. I mean, I know the people that own the cars don't like it, and I can sympathize there.
They thought they were saving that.
They bought the car, with the understanding that they didn't have to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you're dealing with the government.
Yep. They're going to get it one way or the other.
They're going to get out there and get their hand out.
Another thing that we envisioned was the fact that the cars actually have computer capacity now,
mm-hmm.
that we can have a transistor or a transponder on the side of the road that would read every speedometer that went by.
Right.
And we have that technology.
Yeah.
And it would catalog back to a VIN number or whatever, or serial number for that vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end of the year, they would calculate how many miles you had driven on their roads.
Yeah, believe me, the technology is out there to track the vehicles.
Yeah.
We see it on some of our vehicles, rental fleets and that. They actually track, and they know exactly where that car is at all times.
I'll tell you one better than that. Prater, they went to Daytona and raced an ARCA race.
Yeah.
Well, they have their tractor leased to a container, one of the lines or truck lines that handles the container port.
Mm-hmm.
Port. That they put a GPS on that tractor.
Right.
So,
they wanted to know what it was doing in Daytona?
They went Thomas went through all of the technology and all the innovations that he had to go through to, let them know that that vehicle would be not operating under their control for X amount of days and time periods. But they did have other insurance. They did have other license for a DOT license and all to pull that other trailer to go to that racetrack. Which that's, they originally did that before they started pulling the containers.
Right, right.
Well, they get Thomas is, pulling up into the Daytona, and he gets a text. What's this truck doing in Daytona, Florida? said, I'm not even answering that yet.
That's right.
He said, the powers to be knows where I'm at. They didn't pass it down the line.
Right.
But here you go again. The GPS on the tractor.
Right.
What indicated where they were at. That's just like these telephones that we've got.
Oh, yeah.
If you activate that and turn that GPS on and let to where they know where that phone's at, Yeah. They can follow you anywhere.
They can follow anywhere you want to go.
And they probably can do it anyway without you turning it on.
Yeah.
But your mileage thing and your little map stuff won't work.
Right.
Unless you turn it
on.
Well,
you know, that thing's listening to us all the time anyway. You know,
hey, man, that's big brother.
If you turn that Siri or whatever it is on.
Yeah.
You know, it's listening because you can be having a conversation and it'll pipe in. You know, so like, don't tell me that thing ain't sitting there listening
right.
to me.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But, Alexa or whatever her name
Alexa
is, she's listening too.
They're listening the whole time.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, it's you know, it was expected. You know, I knew it was going to have to happen.
Right.
You know. Yeah, especially we're fighting to try and figure out how to pay for the bridge over to Bayway
right.
and all this
right.
kind of stuff. The electric cars are coming more and more prevalent. You know, it was going to have to happen.
Well, you know, and we talk about it. They're the innovations of the different vehicles. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about 18-wheelers.
Right.
And how many of those that are on the road now that actually have, you know, powered by electricity.
Yeah.
Or batteries, that is.
Well,
you know?
it's coming. And yeah, they're out there now, but, you know, that's not as big a piece of the pie yet. But,
right.
It's coming.
Well, just think, though, if these truck lines start running those tractors – with battery power, and they don't pay all of that fuel tax on that diesel fuel and all
right.
that they have to pay. And you see what diesel fuel can cost you, $2.64 to $3 a gallon,
right.
where we're paying $1.99 to $2.29
right.
on regular gas. So you know there's probably 30, 40 cents per gallon in there
yep.
you know, on that diesel fuel. So if they start running battery-powered trucks,
mm-hmm.
then they're gonna get a bill too.
Right, right.
But yeah. then they have to know, you know, well, theirs are going to – they're going to want to know how many miles those dudes run. So they're going to activate those transponders.
Oh, I guarantee you.
Like we had, you know, we got transponders on race cars now. You don't have somebody up there scoring it with a pen and pencil anymore to scratch pad.
You don't have some of the scores that can get you a couple laps up on a race.
Oh, no. We lost all that convenience.
Yeah.
I know some guys and girls that used to be high dollar.
Oh, they
score
could,
us.
Oh, yeah.
They got extra couple of hundred dollars.
Ahead.
Yeah. they could find you a lap.
Yeah. No
you're
doubt.
Like, how do you do that? Look at the old
– Watch the clock.
Yeah, let the people talk to you about it before.
Yeah.
It would take about 15 laps to get a lap, but you can do
right.
it.
Right. You just had to kind of shave a second here or there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You can make it work.
You pick up five seconds on each lap, you know, and then, you mm-hmm. know, so what, in 10 laps you got 50 seconds or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, then another 10 and it gives you, that gives you a lap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello? where's that scorecard at?
Well, when you match up the video with the scorecard, then you could catch them, but it was tough.
So we don't have scores with pencils and scratch pads
right,
out on side
right.
the interstate now, but we do have the capabilities of all mm-hmm. of the electronic technology and the sophistication of our computers and our cars
to
send these signals. It's just a matter of and you know, the truth be known, that might be on the cars as we speak. They just hadn't been activated.
Well, you know, it's the the capabilities there. If you
right.
have any kind of communication system in the vehicle with a GPS, then
right.
they can pipe into it and
well, it's what, like the GMC deal. What is it? OnStar.
OnStar.
Hey, what do we got? What is that?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, and all the manufacturers have something similar. Yeah,
sure.
Some of it's even related to OnStar, just can't be called the same thing,
right?
You know, because it's a different company. But
that relates back to another area. I think that over the last few months or so, especially around here, has become critical, and that is these chasing these cars
mm-hmm.
when they've done something wrong and they've got a stolen vehicle or something,
mm-hmm.
and we're chasing them and all.
Right.
I don't see that it's going to be that much longer
yeah.
before if they can get close enough to that vehicle to get its tag number. All they got to do is they'll be able to call that tag number in, and by satellite or, you know, they can shut that car down.
Yeah, and they can actually do that now.
On some vehicles, sure.
On some vehicles. I know on a GM vehicle, and they won't shut it down until it gets to a spot where it's stopped already or
right.
almost to a stop. But they can limit the speed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
they can make it to where they can't get away. You know, if they can get a hold to it. You know,
yeah. When they get started with it, they will change it to where they can start pulling the speed off of it and make the car start slowing down and not cause a wreck, cause the other people to run into it behind it.
Well, and that's the thing is if you automatically stop them, then that can be a problem as well.
Oh, but, yes. Oh, yeah.
Sounds like it's time for us to take our first break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
There's a speed zone ahead of it, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road, and I'm going to make it home tonight.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you've heard the story of the hot rod race that fatally...
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Before we went on break, we were talking about the electric vehicles and that.
Right,
and
right.
Yeah, one of the things I was reading just a little while ago was that Tesla has actually, when you get in an accident and you have a total loss vehicle, you know, total loss just means that it's going to cost more to repair the vehicle than it is to that the vehicle's worth. If it is a total loss like that, even though it may be a rebuildable vehicle,
right?
They go in and disable their supercharging and the third party fast charging on them as well.
Oh, really?
So, which I don't know if I agree with that.
Is that so that you can? What am I? Did I understand you say that was?
You can still charge it.
If they totaled it, they would do that.
Right.
But if they were just going to repair it, they wouldn't do that.
Well, yeah, if it was just repaired, you know, if it had a fender damage or whatever, it wasn't a total loss, then they don't go in there and do that. But if it ends up with a salvage title, they disable that stuff on it.
Oh, goodness.
Which, there again, you know, that was part of the features of the vehicle when it was bought. I don't understand how they get away with doing that.
Yeah, how do they,
that.
So, in other words, you buy a vehicle that's not complete.
Right.
Again.
Right. And there's no way to make it complete.
I wonder if they can get away with that.
They've been getting away with it for a while now, so we'll see. But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Hello.
Hey, what can I do for you?
Yes, sir. I was listening last week, I guess it was last week on Monday night or maybe the week before, and you guys were talking about the new C8 Corvette.
Yeah.
And it sounded like there was some – I got the idea that you – indicated that the engine was the same old, and I understood that this is a totally different engine. I understand it's like a 5.5 liter double overhead camshaft motor that's in this new C8, and I was just wondering, am I confused, or did I hear something that was different last week?
Well, I mean, that's one of the power plants that's coming, but right now it's got the, I believe it's a 6.2 liter pushrod motor in it, so...
Now that's not what I understood. I did not realize that. Well, the 6.2 back pushrod motor is a wonderful motor, but I understood that all of the new C8 were going to have the 5.5 liter dual overhead camshaft. So you've given me some information I did not know.
Yeah, and. You know, hey, there's nothing to hold your head down about having that 6.2 motor in there.
tell me about it.
Oh, that thing's bad to the bone.
Yeah, it's an impressive motor. It's a small, lightweight package that makes really impressive horsepower and fuel economy. And it takes modifications very well. And even in the production platform where they start modifying it with different induction systems and superchargers, that kind of thing. Those things make some incredible horsepower. They really do.
Well, so. you know, it's if you really look at it, if you look at some of the parts of it, it's the same thing, very similar to what they introduced in 1955. You know, that motor is there's a lot of similarities. Now there's a lot of high bucks and high innovations that's in this thing, but I can tell you it's pretty similar to the old 265 they introduced in in 55. There's a lot of similarity.
Yeah, it's a well, you know, yes and no, but yeah, it's still a early technology motor push rod, you know, but they have gone to.
It's got bigger overalls on.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand. Well, you know, hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So,
I'll tell you what.
What I understand is the 5.5 liter dual overhead camera is not what you're going to see in the first production run of the C8 Corvette. Is that kind of right?
No, I don't believe you're going to see it right off. I think it's going to be a little
bit later. Thank you. Hey, I listen to you guys regularly. I'm an old gearhead, 81 years old, been an old drag racer, and I cut my teeth on old Chevrolets. I started with the six cylinders and then the little V8s, and I've been around a long time. And I thank you. I enjoy listening to you guys. You all have a great evening. Okay?
We might have been in the same class.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you calling in.
Take care.
But yeah, it's and they've got a lot of new exciting stuff coming for the new Corvette, you know, the new mid-engine platform. You know, it's an all new car. I think they had one part that carried over from one of the older ones.
What?
It was like one outside door handle or one inside, I believe, or something. It was, I don't even remember what it was at this point, but it was like, wow, with everything that you got on that car, you got one piece carried
one
over.
Piece. You know, so, might have been cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
They don't even put them in there anymore, do they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, you know, and that's, you know, motor excluded at this point. But,
right.
Yeah, they're, yeah, like I say, there's nothing to hold your head down about, you know, on that on that 6.2 power plant.
Ooh,
yeah.
You know, in fact, I think, you know how I am about these new motors and stuff. You probably might not be on that page, but I like for them to get those new motors out there for 2 or 3 years and run them. But, you know, they've got a gazillion miles on it. It's probably already been run 2 or 3 years.
Right.
You know, in other cars. But I don't know. I you know, once they put them out, I like from somebody else to test
somebody
them for a while.
To, somebody else.
I'd take me one with a 6.2 and move on.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and I've actually heard that they're doing a 5.7 as well.
Oh goodness!
So, you'll hear a lot of things. We'll see what comes out. You know,
they're
coming down the line. Now,
even when you work at the dealership, doesn't mean that everything you hear.
They don't share everything.
If you see it in writing.
Yeah.
With that big GM decal on it,
right.
Then you kind of know that's what's coming.
You know, if they tell the dealers, they might as well be telling the world. So, if they don't want it out yet, they just don't share. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah.
Which the cars are coming down the line now? They're building them now. So, the ones they got right now are push rod motors.
Right. Right. They're tried and true. They work.
Yeah.
They don't have a problem.
They're
with
pretty
it.
Much bulletproof. Right. High RPM. Good power. Good torque curve. Excellent fuel economy, especially in those cars. It's hard to argue on a car that you can climb in and run. That kind of speed,
right.
Upwards closer to 180 miles an hour,
woo.
And still get 25, 26 miles a gallon,
woo.
Easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, that's unbelievable.
Sorry, I had to get a drink of water there.
Yeah. But, this weather has got us both messed up with all of these allergies, and both of us have had bad cases of allergies, been around all these fumes and everything from all the cars and stuff for, you know, minimum 50 years apiece probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I think my nostrils will probably burn up from fuel and racing fuel and diesel fuel. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just got a text from one of our friends here that says the carryover part is the seat frame. But
seat frame.
Yeah. So, you know, like I say, it was a clean sheet of paper and, you know.
All right.
They may have got down to drawing that picture and said, you know what, this won't work. Why not? So
yeah. Well, the engineers got to make money too, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If they don't change stuff, why do they need them? How are they gonna keep their jobs?
Yep. The one neat thing about the car is, you know, they've actually, you know, these are very tight cars cockpit wise. You know, they've actually made the cockpit bigger. Not necessarily by making the car bigger, but the fact that they don't have a torque tube tunnel to
That's awesome.
Run down through the middle of the
car. Big change, good thing.
Yeah, so that gives you much more room inside for the passengers. It's just a neat little thing. We're waiting for our first one, so we'll see. We'll see what comes out.
Let me interject something here. We were both looking at this and waiting until the last minute when we went on the air to see what the heck happened to Ryan Newman in the Daytona race. If any of you guys happen to be watching current TV about the Daytona or any news, and you get any word about Ryan Newman's condition, would you please let us know? Because we're both old Sincere racers, and we personally know Ryan and all of those guys down there today. What an awesome race it was, and here you go again. You wonder whether the racing is worth the flip. And then it gets down to, like 20 cars, maybe 20 cars left. But then when it gets to the finish, there wasn't three laps ahead, or one car wasn't two or three laps ahead. We're talking about inches,
Yeah.
And golly. But, we're kind of worried about Ryan because he got a good hit in the driver's door upside down. So
Right. I do appreciate Joe Gibbs getting up there and apologizing to everybody, because the drivers at the track and in victory lane don't know what's going on around them. They don't know the severity of Ryan's injuries, or they haven't even announced yet, how severe they are. Their initial reaction is to celebrate, and then they realize that they have a competitor or friend
they didn't have the joy in their heart that they would have had normally, not knowing, Ryan Blaney and Danny and all those guys, not knowing really what's going on. And you can bet that when, Joe Gibbs Sr. was having that prayer out there and he had saw that, he was already praying for Ryan Newman. And asking the Lord to, not let him be hurt.
Right.
And if he is, so not be serious.
Yep. It's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsor. We'll be back.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of text, let's see. We got one from Dave in Gulf Shores asking about did the 500 run. Yes, I did get it in. Finished up about just before 7 o'clock our time, and Denny Hamlin won. Ryan Newman, of course, got in a pretty scary-looking wreck there right at the end, coming to the finish line. Our hopes and prayers go out to him and his family.
He still finished second, didn't he?
I think he was at least top 10. I think ninth is what I saw.
It was?
Okay. Yeah. So had a real shot at winning it right there at the end.
Oh, that's right. 17 car.
Yeah.
Coming in second.
So it had a really good run going on. But like I say, we're all worried about Ryan, and hopefully have a positive outcome to that.
But pray that we get good news about him.
While we're talking about racing just a little bit, we got a local boy that did a good job on Friday night. Grant Enfinger won the truck race.
Don't you know?
And that was a tight.
Oh, yeah?
That was
another close one.
Yeah. Closest truck finish in history at Daytona.
The move that he made reminded me of Earnhardt Sr.
Yeah.
He was, coming around on the last lap, he was, 8th or 13th or somewhere back there?
Well, yeah, he come on up through there, and the other boy moved him out of the way a little bit to get up beside him, and he just wasn't going to take it.
No.
Take it. So he got up there and ignored him a little bit.
And where he come from at Mobile International Speedway when he was running with Kevin Raywinkle, we pushed back.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So Grant did a great job. He's a great guy.
Awesome.
From our area.
Young man.
From Fairhope. Has done a great job in a race car. Would love to see him go on to something bigger, better, even from there. Deserves a shot at the Cup Series, but, you know, it's all about money. So.
Right, it is. He's blessed to be able to be able to run in the Truck Series and round up enough millions of dollars to get, you know, keep that ride.
Exactly. So it did a great job, but wanted to mention him. It's something about these Mobile boys in the Truck Series. They like them close three wide finishes. You know, because another one, Rick Crawford, he was in the next closest finish.
Right,
three
sure
wide,
was, yeah.
Waiting, you know, back in, I'm trying to think, about 04, 03, 04, somewhere in that area, in a truck race down there. So proud of Grant and what he did and pulled
an awesome
off there.
Job, yes.
But we do, let's see, a couple more texts here. We got, after a serious wreck in an electric car, is there a chance of electrocution in the driver? Or electrocution in the car, specialists, first responders are needed to remove the victims and even get close to the car. There's a chance of it like a 2,000-volt shock. And asking if Tesla may do this automatically to guarantee the safety of the system. To best of my knowledge, now I'm not versed on the Tesla that well, but most electric cars do not automatically shut down the high voltage system in the car in case of an accident. That's why the first responders have to be versed on the vehicles to be able to go in and find the disconnect switch and disable the high voltage system in them. Now some of that stuff is automatically disconnected, you know, in case of some kind of code. If it's a serious enough wreck that it's invaded the battery compartment or any of the electrical system to that point, that then it's going to start shutting things down anyway.
It does it automatically.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, and I don't know that Tesla's doing this to help anybody. You know, my guess is no. I don't really see a real reason. You know, be neat if they could, if it was, you know, something that could be reset if it gets in a serious accident, that it can automatically disengage the high voltage where it's a safe.
You know, I made a couple of those collision collapses under our car in and about those the electric cars and the difference in the way the power cords are routed, what they're routed in, and the protection they have around them, as well as the thickness of the insulation, all that's around that. And you know, the instructors that we had, you know, bringing that forth to us, didn't seem to be really worried about it that much. It was more automatic to shut it down.
Well, and that's the thing is the compartment that the batteries actually sit in is a sealed compartment that is vented outside the vehicle. You know, if there's anything that intrudes into the wiring harness or into that part of the car.
Right.
The harness has a capability in the computers of being able to tell that.
Right.
And
right.
It will automatically shut that down because the battery's hooked to a control module, and then it doesn't leave that sealed compartment until it knows it's safe for it to leave there.
There you go.
You know, so it's
it knows if it's an intruder. Right. It's a piece of steel or whatever, you know.
Right, something that shorted something. And even being able to get a nick on a bare high voltage wire or to bare, you know, open up a high voltage wire, the system knows that.
Right.
So it will shut you down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a hurry. But we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Hey, man, I enjoy y'all's show, and you guys helped me out this year. Got my son a nice little car. Not a matter of thinking about she want one, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I told her she got to wait a little longer. but listen, I'm not driving too much now because my sight is kind of failing a little bit. What do you guys think about these driverless cars, or are they thinking about putting on the market?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen one well up close, and I know the capability is there. I don't know how I feel about it yet, to be honest with you.
I don't think I got to worry about it. I can't afford it.
If I ever get one, I want you and Tom to let me peel out and burn rubber doing 35 miles an hour, okay?
That's right. Hey, that's right.
You know what? I know where there's a big old field at. And we could put a blindfold on you,
yep,
and get you out in the field with a car. Just say, all right, go to your heart's content. When I'll ride with you, and when you need to turn right, I'll say, turn right. Okay, turn left.
I know they drive this. I guess you got to tell them what to do.
That's right.
Something has, don't they, brother?
But enjoy your show, man, and y'all help me out this year. I really appreciate it. My son happy, and I guess I got to get to Madeline something later on.
Oh, yep, you're in trouble if you don't take care of her.
All right, then. Thank you.
I appreciate you listening. But he come out to the racetrack and race with us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think most of those guys close their eyes
anyway.
They're
all wearing sunshades that's blacked out.
Yeah, they're not looking where they're going anyway, so what the heck, you know.
Ain't that the truth, yeah.
Yeah,
most of those guys that are all dirt because they drive their car sideways.
Yeah, you have to look out the side of the car anyway when you drive those. So
there you
what
go.
The heck, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't need windshield wipers on that because you're looking out the passenger window.
Exactly. It's like, wow, that's different. So yeah, I've only run one dirt race, and that was I enjoyed it, but it was enough for me because I'm a little picky about the way my car looks and the fact that it took like 2 weeks to get all the dirt out of my helmet and fire suit. So
I drove one of those little old four cylinder cars one night down at what is it, Sunny South?
Yeah,
and I drove it like it was a dirt car.
Yes,
you know, because it was front wheel drive and that rear end wanted to hang out on me, so I said, let her hang, baby, let's go.
Well, you know, if it's front wheel drive, just mash the gas. Yeah. The back end's got to follow you.
I thought I was back on those dirt roads out in Mississippi, man, and you know, driving in the mud.
Yep. But let's see, we got another text message here. I got a 99 Z28 with the LS1 motor. It's got 220,000 miles on it. Still kicks butt.
That's
28 miles per hour per gallon at 78 miles an hour.
Right.
Doesn't use any oil. Best motor ever. That that first gen LS1. I tell you what, it's been a workhorse.
It has.
They've very little trouble out of them. They make really good power. I think they're about 330 horsepower, which is actually a little less than what this truck I'm driving now has. But it's you know, they respond very well to modifications. You know, you can make some really good horsepower out of them with just minor work done to them. I was watching something the other night, and they took a junkyard 4.8 liter, which is a smaller version of that motor, camshaft, intake, carburetor, and headers. Thing made 500 horsepower.
Say what?
Yeah. Stock bottom end. I mean, it was out of a junkyard. You know, they didn't do anything.
Well, you didn't
pull the heads off of it.
You don't really need to turn it that many RPM to make that kind of horsepower, though, do you? Or you had to run somewhere around 6 grand?
Yeah, but those motors, 62? The stock rods and pistons are good to 7.
Are they the
powder, 75? They're powdered.
Are they the press powdered rods?
Yeah, they're press powdered metal rods.
And, oh man, those are good rods.
The crankshaft's good for like 1,200 horsepower.
Right. Well, we used to run those in the race motors when they said you had to run stock rods.
Right.
You know.
Right.
That was the next nearest thing going to an Eagle. You know.
Right.
Solid rod, steel rod.
Yeah. Yeah. The H-beam stuff.
Yeah. They last a lot better.
Oh yeah. No doubt. No doubt. They're
good
tough.
Good stuff.
They were tough. But we also had, let's see, Michelle saying that dealers are adding a $10,000 premium to the MSRP of the C8 Corvettes. And,
I'll bet everyone is sold, sold that the dealers have ordered.
I'm sure with the demand, demand dictates price.
It does. Oh, it does, yeah.
Yeah, if you want one of the first ones, you're going to pay a premium for it, I'm sure. But let's see, we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us? Caller, you there?
Hey, Kev.
Hey.
Hey, Kev. Mr. Clash, it's Kevin.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Oh, hang on. I got an ambulance going by. I mean, let me pull over and do the right thing.
There you go.
Give him room.
That's
it. How you guys been doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, man, just getting off. Turning you guys on. So, caught a little bit of talk about the new Corvette coming out. That's just kind of weird with that mid-engine there, but. You know, what I'm going to do is I've still got two of the motors that you built for me, Mr. Claxton. I got my 350 sitting around there, and I got a 327. And I'm what I'm going to do is save up. Goodmark Industries, I think, is going to be building the Gen 2 Camaros where you can just have it shipped to your door right there on a. I'm going to just rebuild me an old one there, and I got a carburetor, and I got a transmission. I'm just going to be old school like Mad Max.
There you go.
You know what? But you're talking about an awesome vehicle.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. You can get a brand new body shipped to you right there. No rust, no nothing, all OEM.
Yep.
Like I say, I've got my doggone old shed back there with all my stuff in it. I never got rid of it. And I said, one day, I'm going to just go and build me from scratch another car.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm looking there, and they've got, like I said, they've got the Gen 1 as far as with the Firebird and the Camaros and things like that. But I said, I want that Gen 2 body.
Yep.
Like I got the old 73.
Yep.
And I'm just going to rebuild one, and, you know, straight frame, no rust, no nothing, just
right.
have a beautiful car.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be unbelievable. When you get that one built, I hope I'm still around to see it.
Yep.
Yep. Roger that.
You're right.
Listen,
all right,
you guys hang in there. Always enjoy listening, and y'all keep up the good fight.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks for listening. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Free and easy down the road I go, hanging memories on the highline poles. Free and easy down the road I go.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I guess we need to touch base with our listeners about one of our main sponsors here, UJ Chevrolet.
Yes, sir. Certainly should.
You know, need to come out and see what we got going on out there. Got a pretty good inventory of cars. They've been moving off the shelf pretty quick, but they've been restocking pretty fast as well. So we still got a pretty good inventory.
Probably a dumb question. You got any 19s left?
We've got a few. It's getting thinner and thinner. But
I know it's stupid to ask about an 18.
I don't know that we have an 18 on the lot unless it's on the used car side.
I saw somebody on TV the other day trying to sell a 18 model pickup trucks, and they were talking about $13,000-$14,000 discounts on them.
Yeah, yeah. Sound like they probably should have done a little better job of pushing them when they were an 18 model.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah,
the new model. But they apparently still had a few, but it is still a brand new vehicle. Has a brand new warranty if it hadn't been sold yet. You got to get a little bit of discount on it because you're going to take a little bit of a hit on it when you roll off the lot. It's a 2-year old vehicle. So, if you're going to keep it and drive it,
yeah,
it
who
don't
cares
matter.
About it then?
It
yeah.
don't matter.
Well, if I got it, I was going to drive it 10 years. You know,
right, exactly.
I'll so, live another 10 years. What you talking
oh,
yeah, about?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're in better shape than the rest of us, so I think
I hope and pray that I am, you know.
So, yeah, absolutely. But, we've been pretty busy there in the shop. They keep us running nonstop. You know, things gotten a little slower here in Mardi Gras time. You know, people are saving up for beads and moon pies and those kind of things,
yeah,
I guess.
You know what? Let me break something out. Mm-hmm. My daughter took her bed in, and she had the oil changed and all on it. Mm-hmm. And she's been paying like $120 for an oil change.
Right.
And y'all's price on it with synthetic oil was $70?
Yeah, it was $79, I think.
$79?
Yeah.
What the hell is
that? It's cheaper. It is cheaper to go to the dealer to get your oil change on those cars than it is.
What do you charge on a regular car, like, you know, 5 quarts of oil?
I think it's $69. And it's a full synthetic oil change with a tire rotation. Yeah.
You know, well, I talked to somebody the other day at one of these quickie oil changes, and they wanted $64, and it was a blend.
Yeah, synthetic blend.
Blend. I said, hell no, I want synthetic.
Right. Right.
Well, that's going to be $80-something.
Right. And they don't rotate the tires. Yeah.
Oh no, they didn't even want to check the tire pressure.
Right.
I had to say, y'all change oil up in. Don't y'all check fluids and, you want that done? I said, oh, hell yeah, I want that done, you know?
And I'm sure people have that listen to this radio station have heard me talk about it before. But years ago, I'm notorious. I don't open the hood on mine unless I need to. You know, my wife's she had a little Focus.
I'm
gonna pull
my back out.
I know. You know,
if it was race car hood, you'd look at it.
Well, it didn't have any numbers or any advertising written on the car anywhere, so yeah. I didn't feel like so I needed open hood on it.
Right,
so,
it wasn't a race car. It had warranty or guarantees on it, whatever.
Right. But we sent it to, and I'll go ahead and name and call them out on it. It's Firestone.
It was right across
the street from where my wife was working at
no,
the time.
No.
And I said, well, just take it across Fleet Street and let them change the oil. I knew it was time. And because she had mentioned a few things, and I said, just take it across while you're at work. Just drop it off, walk across the street, and let them do it while you're at work.
There you go. Well, yeah. It's convenient.
It was convenient.
Right.
And when I talked to her after she picked it up, she said, she mentioned something about how about bringing some washer fluid home. I said,
what?
What for? She said, well, my washer fluid light's still on. It was huh. Like, wait a minute now.
You just took it over there.
You just got the oil change, and the washer fluid light's still on. And I said, well, first off,
are you kidding me?
Get back in your car.
Yeah.
Go across the street. And then you hand the phone to the manager.
Oh,
I want to talk
ooh,
to him.
Ooh, I want to hear that. Ooh, ooh, know? Can I hear that?
Yeah.
I want to hear that conversation.
Because, you know, she had already told me that they were trying to sell her like $700 worth of maintenance and repairs.
Hell yes. Okay? Oh, hell yes.
So I got the manager on the phone. I was very polite. Yeah, I was very polite.
Very polite.
My voice never went up.
Never.
You know?
Yeah, I bet your voice never quivered.
Right. And I was like, you know, what does your oil change come with? Oh, right. We do this. Okay, this sounds good. Yeah. So my wife tells me that y'all recommended $700 worth of work to do on her car.
Yeah.
And she had oil changed. And she called me on the way home and said she needed some washer fluid. I was like, really? Well, they hadn't checked any other fluids.
Oh, my God.
And they hadn't checked air pressure and tires.
Oh, my God. And they didn't rotate them, did they?
No. And I told the manager, I said, I'm going to give you one friendly piece of advice. It's like, before you try and sell me $700 worth of work, why don't you do the crap that I've already paid you to do?
Right. Right.
You know, and then maybe we'll talk about upselling something.
Oh, Lord.
And he was very apologetic. He got it all handled and all that. But, you know, and it was no harm, no foul because they took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's kind of the key point there is that if you're going to charge somebody for something, do it. Yeah.
Well,
and I'm not going to say that can't happen in our place.
Oh, okay? Well, yeah.
We're dealing with imperfect people because there's not a perfect one running around.
No,
okay?
No, you know, we crucified him.
Right. So, you know, accidents happen, and it's all about how you take care of it.
Right.
But, you know, and I hammer on our guys all the time, if we're going to sell something, make
do
sure
it.
You
do,
do
right.
And
yep.
You give the people the value that they have paid for.
Right. And okay? I don't want any CBs. I don't want any comebacks. Do it right.
No, yep. And if you're gonna work on cars, you're gonna have things come back on you.
Yep.
It's just gonna happen, especially when you get into the technical end of it, because a lot of times it's I hate to say guessing game, because it's more of an educated guess, because
right.
You know it had a failure, you know it did such and such, but you can't make it do it now. Okay.
Right. Well, it's
and you
if
don't
it ain't wanna, broke, it's hard to fix.
Right. And that's when you have to have that hard conversation with the customers, like, okay, I know it did something.
Right.
And based on the symptoms and the codes and everything I see, I feel like it's probably this, but you know, I can't prove it.
Right.
So would you like me to go ahead and try something, or you know, you want to keep driving it and have it fail again?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So sometimes yeah, and I spend way more time sometimes, you know, much more time we ever charge for, but more time than I should even. But because I can't stand having that, you know, we couldn't find it,
right.
You know, or duplicate it, you know, situation, and have to take a stab at it, you know. But it does happen.
But here's another thing. I don't have a problem with taking my vehicle to a shop and asking for an oil change or asking for mm-hmm. something specific. And then them coming out and saying, well, you need this, and we found this, and we found this, and all that.
Right.
You know, I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, write it on the invoice,
mm-hmm.
and when I get to it or I check it out and that's what I want to do, then I'll bring it back. But appreciate you bringing it to my attention.
Right.
You know? But,
or even walk up there and show me my air filter is dirty or my cabin air filter is dirty.
All right. Take me back there
and show me my
Take me back to the vehicle
the
and show me, you know, the rotor is all ruined or tore up or whatever.
Yep. Be willing to show a customer what you're talking about.
Yeah. And ladies,
if I'm willing to tell you that something's wore out, I'm going to be able to show you something's wore out. Yeah.
And ladies, don't go to a shop and because somebody else has already told you, well, it needs this or it needs that. You go to the shop and tell them what the problem is on it. Let them diagnose it.
Yeah.
And let them tell you what's wrong with it and see if it corresponds with what you have already been told that it is.
Right.
You know, so because if you go in and tell them, oh, well, I want a thermostat replaced on it. I know a lady right now.
That's what they're going to do.
She's got $500 invested in changing the thermostat and all that kind of stuff. I personally really think the only thing you need is a coolant sending unit.
Right.
You know?
Right. Very possible. So.
All right.
Anyway, sounds like we're running out of time for our show today, but I want to thank everybody
I'm running
for.
Out of voice too.
Yeah, me too. This pollen's starting to get to me a little bit, but. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and I will be back next week with Tom.
Right. Bless you all. And to all of our troops out there, all you veterans, a big hoorah. We appreciate you. We appreciate everything you've done.
I heard that old jukebox playing a song about a truck driving man. So,